Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
720 WGN, John Landecker. Yeah, that term is Corvette. That word is Corvette. Corvette is a car. And when it comes to cars, we want to talk to Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, host of the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast, and personal friend of the Steve and Johnny Show. How are you, Tom?
I'm well, thank you. Happy New Year, sir.
And a happy New Year to you, too. Big doings in the automotive world, at least as far as exhibitions are concerned, with the annual 2026 Chicago Auto Show coming up, starting Saturday and going through Monday. Now, I know there's some stuff that you wanted to talk about, and I want to get to that, too, but I started out with this Corvette song from, I don't know, a long, long time ago. And one of the things that I've always loved about going to the auto show is seeing these, I guess you would call them, what, demonstration cars, or cars that are just being put out there to make you go, wow, because they're not going to be available. And Corvette has, as I understand, an unbelievable car at this year's auto show. Am I right?
The Corvette is now available in a new trim level. There used to be the Corvette, and there was the Z06, which was a higher performance Corvette, and then the ZR1. Now there's the ZR1X, more than 1,000 horsepower, and it's been doing crazy things on test tracks everywhere. It will be available for sale to the public in very limited numbers, but you can see that crazy car, and it's beautiful is the wrong word. It's very aggressively styled, but it is a fantastic thing to see. And it is one of the highest performance cars in the world. And Corvette Chevrolet is absolutely embarrassing other supercars because this car is priced so much more affordably. Well, affordable is the wrong word, right? A $200,000 car is a lot of money, but it is much less expensive than these other supercars.
Now, if I've got this right, this Corvette has all-wheel drive, four motors, one powering each wheel to collectively generate more than 2,000 horsepower. Is that right?
Yes. The funny thing, wheel hub motors are a strange thing where you put a motor in each wheel, but you were seeing that. I don't think there's a production version of that anywhere. So if this comes to market like that would be very, very unique.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. When I read the description, it was like, well, this doesn't, I mean, it exists in reality that you could go and see, I guess you would call it a prototype, but, you know, you'd never see it on the road, although you may see its cousin, so to speak, for lack of a better term. How about Elon Musk? There won't be any Tesla products at this year's auto show, will there?
Oh, Tesla does have a presence at the show.
No kidding.
It'll be interesting to see what. Yeah, I don't know if they brought the Cybertruck to sell there, but the Model Y and the Model 3, they're very, very popular compact car and compact crossover, will certainly be there. And those are the ones that you can buy. Tesla just discontinued a couple of models, actually, no longer available, where their Model S, which is the car that goes all the way back to 2012. Really put the company on the map. But that was a big sedan. People don't really buy big sedans anymore, so they finally pulled the plug on that.
And I guess he's turning his attention to humanoid robots and robo-taxis. So
the Optimus humanoid robot, and then the robotic, I guess, taxi. Well, the taxi thing is interesting because I don't know what the net sum total market is for driverless taxis.
Yeah.
I don't know if that could save Tesla. The robot thing is far more interesting, and I don't know anything about robotics, but they have cleaned out the factory out in California to build these robots. So they're anticipating volume.
Well, you know, Elon Musk always, like him or not, always has the next thing coming on, and at least, you know, it may not last a long time, I mean, but it'll last a while. I mean, we're talking things like, you know, satellite telephones and rockets that go up and come back down. I mean, it is pretty amazing. So it may take a little dip in his the S and some of the models of the Tesla, but I don't think it's going to affect really his bottom line to any extent, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, he's already rich. So.
Oh, yeah, he sure is. I understand that Ford, when you mentioned affordability, or at least we were talking about that prototype Corvette, they have a quote-unquote, well, it sort of combines what we were talking about in two levels, an affordable, quote-unquote, electric small truck. Can you tell us about that?
This is a really interesting story. And towards the end of last year, Ford had a meeting, and it was a big announcement, and the press was there. And they announced what they called their Model T moment. So they're saying that this is as important to the company now as the Model T was way back when. Whoa. But they're working on a new way to manufacture vehicles and to try to build them as affordably as possible. And one of them is this new small pickup truck, which they've named Maverick EV. So people who know, Ford already sells a very small pickup truck. It's very likable. Call the Maverick. This is an electric pickup truck about the same size. But their target is to sell this thing for about $30,000.
Wow. Well, you know, in today's market, that's low, from what I understand, for a new vehicle.
Yeah, very low for a useful EV, too. So we'll see where this goes. But they're talking about having this in production and in, you know, showrooms within a year. So it's all very interesting. And it's interesting, too, that they're addressing the fact that it costs them a lot of money to build a car. So they're trying to take that cost out of the manufacturing. And they really need to do that, I think, if they're going to build this car in the U.S.
You know, calling it a Model T moment, that's quite a bold statement, considering how the Model T's effect on the whole success of the Ford Motor Company. I mean, that's putting a lot of pressure on this car, on this truck, you know?
It is, and if you think about the Model T, too, it was sort of an accident. No one knew when Ford rolled out the Model T that it was going to be the Model T.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Just another car, but they totally nailed it, and with manufacturing, too, and I suppose that's part of the tie-in here.
We're talking to Tom Appel, and we'll continue when we come back on 720 WGN. Yeah, I know it's low-hanging fruit, but I'm going to use it anyway. Drive by the Cars at 720 WGN with John Landecker, Tom Appel, publisher, Consumer Guide Automotive, Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast, General Savant with anything automotive. And we've been discussing the Chicago Auto Show. And if you continue, let's talk about whatever you want. If you want to talk about the auto show, you want to talk about some new vehicles, you want to talk about whatever, go ahead. I mean, I'll take that back. The only thing that has been bugging me recently, and we touched on it right before the break, is how much an automobile costs these days. You know, you said $30,000, and what a steal. I mean, that's a lot of money for a new car. I mean, I remember when there were some new automobiles that were, if you wanted to, you could spend $17,000, $18,000 and get one. Are those kind of cars still available, or are they all around this $30,000 mark?
No. You know, it's funny. I was shopping for a car today with my daughter. She's 26, you know, kind of looking, not entry-level, but near entry-level, doesn't want to spend a lot of money. She has a job, but obviously she doesn't want to spend all her money on payments. And it seems like now, if you were looking for a small personal use car, you're single or small family, it's very hard to put something together for very much less than $30,000. And if you want some nice stuff on your car, it's going to be more like $32,000 or $33,000 out the door with tax. And that's what we ran into. And there are some very, very good cars in that class, the Hyundai Kona, the Mazda CX-30. These are very nice small crossovers. And in Chicago, you want them with all-wheel drive, which adds about $2,000 for the cost. But yeah, that is what a car pretty much costs now. And we saw this at the end of COVID. We saw Hyundai, for example, and Kia get rid of the Kia Rio and the Hyundai Accent. And those were subcompact cars that could be had with base prices under 20. And that market just disappeared. There's just nothing there. It's almost impossible to put together something for less than 26 now.
Why did that market disappear, in your opinion?
Part of what happened was that in COVID, you may remember the chip shortage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it drove shortages of vehicles. And one of the things that happened was that manufacturers, because they could not make enough to sell, they just stopped selling the cheapest stuff they could sell, the most affordable stuff. So everything moved up market by almost a full notch. And what we're seeing now is that like base trim levels don't even exist on a lot of vehicles. So everything just got more expensive. And Americans, it's not so much that manufacturers raised the price of cars. Mm-hmm. They just started selling a more expensive collection of cars. And that's where we're at now. And I've heard a number, this may be official in a few weeks or something, but the average price of a new car may have risen from $50,000 to about $52,000 in the last few months.
I don't know. That's a lot of money. I got a text here from 630. What does Tom think of the Honda HR-V 2025 with 12,000 miles used and certified?
Very nice little car. That's Honda's smallest crossover, and it's now their most affordable vehicle. Very nice car. If you're happy with the price, go ahead and do it. I don't fit in that car, and make sure if you have any very large friends or a large spouse, that they do. It's a little bit cramped, and it's the smallest of the subcompact crossovers you can buy in the U.S. right now.
But honey, does this car, look fat on me? You know, I have, I have a car. What a surprise! And I've had it for I don't know 5 years, and have been very attentive in its upkeep, and it has just over 60,000 miles on it, and I like it. But apparently there's going to be, I was informed by a local garage that I trust that there could be some repair that could be between $1,500 and $2,500. And I went, wow, that strikes me as a lot. And it's not happened yet. And it may, you know, it may take a while before the situation exists that that would occur. But I was thinking to myself, but it's worth it. I'm not going to be going out there and, I mean, the car's already paid off and everything like that. I'm not going to go out and start this whole process over again with leasing an automobile, or, you know, I don't have cash on hand to pay cash for an automobile. So let's just, you know, sink a couple of grand into the one that works and keep on going. I think that makes sense.
If you like the car,
yeah,
and
I do.
It's been otherwise reliable, yeah, I think does make sense. I agree. And part of the thing, too, and I'm not discouraging people from buying new cars, but it does take time and effort to buy a car. You have to test drive stuff, and you need to go. And the actual buying process takes 3, 4, 5 hours. So it is a big commitment of time to move to a new vehicle. And you should be prepared to spend that time if you do it. And I want to really encourage people to test drive vehicles, because apparently people don't test drive vehicles anymore, which is crazy to me. Yeah,
what?
Increasingly. And we saw this, too, with Tesla. People were buying Teslas sight unseen, which, you know, you were moving from a gas car to an electric car. You should know what that's like.
Yes, and you ought to know where you're able to recharge your automobile if you expect to take it on any kind of substantial trip. I can't believe people would buy a car without test driving it.
It's crazy talk.
It is crazy. Anything else that you want to bring our attention to about the auto show that may be new or revamped or of interest?
Yeah. One thing, people who are interested in electric cars, I don't want them to lose interest. And there are three very affordable cars that will be at the Chicago Auto Show that people should look at. The Chevrolet Bolt is back.
Oh, yeah.
It starts under, nice little car, starts under $30,000. Toyota has brought out a small car, very similar, called the CHR. That name was used before, but now it's an electric car. And the new Nissan Leaf is a delight. It costs a little bit more than those other cars, but good range, looks like a crossover now, not like a shoe, and it's really a delight to drive.
When you say good range, how far is that?
Up to 303 miles on the Leaf.
And rechargeable, how long to recharge? Well, it depends on where you're getting, I guess, your source, where you
yes.
actually do recharge. I mean, if you're plugging it in at home, it's going to take forever, but if there are, what do you call them? Recharge stations? And you know where they are.
Recharge stations, yep.
Yeah. What would that take, like 20 minutes or something like that?
Let me think. If you could find a station, the car charges as fast as 100 kilowatts. It's a 75 kilowatt hour battery. You shouldn't drain it all the way down. It should probably take you 40 minutes if you were really, really, really depleted. Yeah.
Man, okay.
If you just need a quick charge, it's faster.
I mean, you'd never go into a gas station with a, you know, combustible engine and expect to spend 45 minutes filling it up. That's one of the things that's always struck me about the EVs is that I get the point, and I've been in them, and their acceleration is absolutely incredible. And of course, they're fun. Quiet because there's no real moving parts, so to speak. But the the range and the ability to recharge, that's always been not a hang up, but a concern, if you will, when I was thinking about going the EV route. I know that it's improved, but I think it's still there to a certain extent. But 300 miles, I guess that's better than when it was in the beginning, right?
It is, and that's the official EPA number. What we're seeing, too, is that the EPA numbers are a little bit exaggerated for winter use and often very, very conservative for summer use. I have wildly exceeded the EPA numbers on, like, nice summer and spring days. So it depends on use. But if you need to travel a lot in the winter at night with the heat on and the headlights on, your range is going to come down a lot.
Right, right. So, Tom, where do we get the Consumer Guide Automotive podcast? Where do we find you? Other than with Stephen Johnny.
The podcast is everywhere.
Yes.
It's just the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast. You can download it anywhere. Otherwise, just visit us at consumerguide.com. And then I visit with Steve and Johnny, not this Saturday, but the next Saturday.
All right. We'll be looking forward to that. Now, thank you for coming on and hope to talk to you again in the future, Tom. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You betcha. Tom Appel on the John Landecker program here at 720 WGN.